today, we begin a new sermon series called Sheroes of Faith. And a lot of times, what we do is we obviously talk about the men in the Bible, but there are some unsung heroes in Scripture. And women play a vital role in the Bible as well as today. So I want to personally say something to you. I want to say thank you for being such a vital part and being such a blessing in your friends and in your families and to your children and to your husband. So can we give all the women a hand, please? The reality is that we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you all. Right. So we're not just going to honor you next week. We're going to honor you all month long. I don't know what you women do. I don't know if it's a fit. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to honor you today. But, you know, being a mom is hard. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Good. I'm glad you're going to help me. That's why I was going to ask you to help me preach today. But the thing is that, in my opinion, you really are a superhero. You really are. Because I know it's hard. I know there's sleepless nights that you have, and sometimes raising kids is a thankless job. Sometimes you have to do it alone. So not only do you have to be a mom, you have to be a dad, you have to provide for your family, you got to work 40 hours a week, and it seems like life is so stressful. But there is one thing that you do. You got sleepless nights, you have to take care of sick kids. You got to take care. But then there's another time that you have to do something, and I honor you for this. You know, you have to deal with what I call a man cold. Man cold. Because guys, we have to admit, you're in church, so you got to admit this. You got to admit that we amplify when we're sick. Right? I mean, ladies, you know, I'm telling the truth, right? I'm getting all these cool points for my wife. She don't even know it yet, but I am. I'm getting these. But before we get started, guys, our month is next month. Don't worry about it. We'll be talking about God. But before we get started, I want to read a survey that was given to second graders. And there was questions that were asked of them, and their answer follows this question. It said, why did God make moms? Their answer is to help us get out of there when we were born. Now remember, this is second graders. Mostly to clean the house. It's second graders. It wasn't me. I'm just telling you, it's a survey. What ingredients are moms made of? God made moms out of clouds, angel hair, everything nice in the world, and one dab of mean. He used dirt just like the rest of us, but with superpowers. God made my mom just the same as he made me, just with bigger parts. Now, you can read all whatever you want to with that one. We're going to leave that one. Let's go to the next question. What did your mom need to know about your dad before she married him? His last name. She had to know his background. Now, I don't know where that came from. She had to know his background. Was he like a crook, or did he make like $800 a year? Or does he say no to drugs and yes to chores? What's the difference between moms and dads? Moms work at work and come home at work. Dad just goes to work sometimes. Dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real powers because that's who you go to when you want to have a sleepover at your friend. Moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? She has this weird thing about me to always keep my room clean. I'd probably change that. I'd make my mom smarter because she would see it's my sister that does it and not me. Why did God give you your mom and not some other mom? We're related, duh. God knew that she liked me a whole lot more than other people's moms. What kind of little girl was your mom? My mom was always, has always been my mom, so none of that other stuff really happened. Okay, y'all can laugh. It's pretty funny. I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be she was pretty bossy. They used to say that she was nice. Why did your mom marry your dad? My dad makes the best spaghetti in the world, and she eats a lot. Because she got too old to do anything else. My grandmother says that my mom didn't have her thinking cap on. That's why she married him. So who's the boss in your house? Is your mom the boss or is your dad? Mom doesn't want to be the boss, but she has to because my dad's a goofball. I guess my mom is because she does more than my dad. Hey, the second grader. Now, he said, what does mom do in her spare time? Moms don't have spare time. To hear her tell it, she's always paying the bills. So when you think about a hero, or what we call a shero, what would be the answer to a shero? Would it be somebody that had everything together? Or would it be somebody that would face a tough situation? Would that still be a shero and made it through it? Would it be somebody that would go through a situation that was really, really hard and turn to God in the situation? Would they be a shero of the faith? The answer is yes. So today, man, I don't want you to check out. I don't want you to think that, oh, I'm not going to come to church and make an excuse, because today, this message, we're going to be talking about Hannah. And we're going to talk about Hannah, how she was a godly mother, and her example is the epitome of a shero of faith. And so, guys, again, I don't want you to check out. Again, our month is next month. Can I get a, ooh, you know, whatever we do too? Actually, this is something that is applicable to every one of you, whether you're a mom, whether you're a dad, whether you're single or married, or whether you're male or female. This message is for everybody, because it's not just talking about a shero of faith. It's talking about how to be a godly person today. So I want you to stay tuned to everything that's going on. So let me give you a little bit of backstory. Here's this lady, and her name is Hannah. And she was one of two wives of Elkanah, which back in the day, that was legal to have more than one wife. It's still weird to me, but anyway, that's what it was in the Bible at that time. And the one thing about Hannah was that she could not bear children. So there was another wife, and her name was Peninnah, and she could bear children. But the one thing that Peninnah did to Hannah was that she constantly jabbed her about situations. It would be like, say it was modern day, it'd be like this, Hannah, could you help me with all my children? Maybe that's where that soul proper came from, I don't know, but could you help me with all my children? I mean, I know you don't have children, but could you help me with mine? Because I really could use help, you know, because I have so many. Or could you help me change a diaper? Or do you really know how to? I mean, since you don't have kids, but could you help me do that? And she constantly jabbed her year after year after year, constantly going at her about not being able to have children. And yet Hannah had to feel inadequate. She had to feel depressed. And the Bible tells us she did feel depressed. And she suffered from bouts of the depression. And it's more like, Lord, what do you have going on with me? What is my purpose here? I can't even have children. I can't even give my husband children. Why am I here? What is going on? And Hannah could have very well shut down. She could have lashed out, but she didn't. She did something that I believe that speaks to us all. She turned to God. She went to the temple to pray to God. It didn't mean that her situation had changed. Her situation was rough. It was hard. She had been doing this for years. Yet, she turned to the source for happiness. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 10, it says, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's army, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Verse 12, as she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk? He demands, throw away your wine. Verse 15, oh no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged. And I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. You see, Hannah hurt deeply because she wanted to be a mother so bad. But instead of giving up, she looked up. And she looked up to God in prayer, and she was pouring out her heart and soul to the Lord. But she didn't turn away from God in her problems, in the situation she was facing. She turned to God in her problems and situations that she was facing. Even though it had been years, she continued to turn to God. And I believe that speaks to us. No matter what you're going through, no matter the situation, no matter what we face, no matter what we're going to face, turn to God. That's where your peace is going to come from. That's where your help comes from. You can turn to him and know that you're going to get through this situation because he says he would never leave you nor forsake you, that he would always be with you. Amen. There is no better place than to turn to God. But here are three lessons that we learned from Hannah. Number one is pray persistently. Pray persistently. You see, Hannah set her sights on praying for a son. She purposed in her heart to pray fervently for a son, that God would bless her, not only bless her with a son, but she wasn't going to be persuaded by all the negativity that was hitting her every single day for years. She wasn't going to bow down to that. And I believe that ties into what we learned about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they didn't bow down to their current situation, that they continue. They continue to seek God, even in the midst of something that even looked like death. You see, one thing that she did, she wasn't even persuaded by her husband says, you know, babe, I love you. It's okay that you don't have kids. No, she wasn't. She purposed in her heart to pray and knew that God was going to do something. You see, her lesson to us all is that we need to pray persistently. You see, Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, rejoice in a confident hope. Be patient in trouble. That's the hardest thing to do when we face something is to be patient with God. It's the hardest thing to do to say, well, God, I think you need to do it this way. I think you need to do it this way. No. What he says in here is that keep on praying. Say it with me. Keep on praying. What does that tell us? Does that mean that we need to pray 24 hours, 7 days a week? No, because we're not capable of doing that. What it's saying is to have constant communication with God. That's what he's saying there, to keep on praying till your miracle happen. Keep on praying for somebody that's sick. Keep on praying for that child that's not here, that's ran away, that's completely away from God. Keep on praying for that. Keep on praying for that husband that you think's not going to change. God is the prayer answering God, the problem solver, and the way maker. Number two is pray expectingly. Pray expectingly. Hannah's attitude was one of expectancy. You see, she didn't feel that she was praying to a weak or powerless God. She knew that she was praying to an all-powerful God that could meet her needs. Then not on her timing, on his timing. You see, she wasn't just praying just to be prayed. She was praying to an all-powerful God. She knew that she was praying to a God who had delivered Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh. She knew that she was praying to a God that brought them to the promised land. Amen? She knew that God was capable of bringing her request to completion. She knew exactly what God was doing and what he could do. She knew that there's so many promises in the Bible that tells us that God is still with us, that he's always there, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, like I said. But let me caution you here on something. I want to caution you on something. God is an all-powerful God, but he's not an all-powerful genie. It's not one of those that you demand and expect God to do something for. Hannah didn't demand to have a son. She went humbly before him and continued to pray for something that she knew that God could answer. You see, that's what I believe that speaks to us today is simply this, that one of the reasons why we stop praying or we feel like God isn't answering our prayers is because we come with a demanding heart. We come with a demanding heart thinking that, God, you need to do this. You need to do it. God, I'm going to go buy this lotto ticket. You need to make me win this lotto. Because, you know, God, I can give a lot to the church. That's another sermon. We'll talk about that later. But no, what I'm saying is this, is that we need to come before the Lord humbly. Say, God, I lay my heart out to you. I lay this situation out to you. Because I know that I can't do this alone. But I know that you're bigger than my situation. I know that I used to sing a song that says he can hold the whole world in his hand. If he can hold the whole world, he can hold your problem. He can hold your situation. He can still heal you today. He can still heal you today. There's not a sickness that's too big for him. There's not a situation that's too big for him. It's just praying big prayers, expecting prayers that God is going to do something. You see, I don't want you to not pray big prayers. I don't believe God that we need to stop praying big prayers. I think we should, just not in a demanding heart, with a demanding heart. Some of us have stopped praying big prayers, and I don't know who I'm talking to today. I have no clue of who I'm talking to, but I want to tell you right now. I want everyone to listen. It's time to start praying big prayers. I said it's time to start praying big prayers. It's time that people would pray big prayers, especially when it comes to this church. That God, why does he have us 1 mile outside of city limits? Why does he have us out here? And thousands of people have come here over the last 15 years. Thousands of people have come to know the Lord. I believe that we should be praying more. That God, open up the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing. Open up doors that we can walk through to reach people in our city. Not just here in San Marcos, in Kyle, in Buda, in New Braunfels, in Lockhart, wherever it may be, God, open the doors and allow us to walk through it. Did you know that it's an absolute blessing to be in Lockhart? And I'm going to tell you something real quick. We are a mobile church. We set up every Sunday and tear down every Sunday. Did you know that in the school district that every single school at one time has had a mobile church in it and it has failed? Did you know there's this black cloud that's over Lockhart? But God has opened the doors. God has opened the doors that we can walk through these doors, that the superintendent is calling me and asking us to pray that God would bring the faith-based organizations back together. That is God. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we pray to. We pray big prayers. God, continue to open doors. Use me beyond my limitations. Use me beyond what I think I can do. Amen. I'm getting a little hot up here. Sorry. I'm going to tell you that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. That God still answers prayer. I want you to continue to pick up those big prayers for your kids. Again, those kids may not be here right now. Continue to pray for those kids. Those kids may be lost right now that are seeking something else to give them pleasure. But the only real peace you will ever find is in Jesus Christ. Continue to pray for those kids, because guess what? Somebody prayed for me. I was that kid that was gone for many years. I'm the one that ran from God for 20 years. And somebody was praying for me. Somebody was praying for me. And when God restored relationships, the first words out of my mother's mouth was, I've been praying for this. God did that. God did that. I want you to pick up those big prayers and pray for that husband and wife that you think cannot change, that you've seen situations in their life that can't change. Continue to pray for those. God is still the answer. There's a song. There's a song that touches me every single time I hear it. And the song is He's Able. It says, God is able to do just what He said He would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause He won't give up on you. He's able. He is able. He's able. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think, according to the power that is within you, that works in you. Pray like God not only can do it, but pray like God will do it. I said, pray like God will do it. It's time that we pray the idea that this all-powerful God is listening, that He hears your heart, that He is willing to act on your behalf, just as He did in the case of Hannah. Number three is pray specifically. Pray specifically. You see, Hannah could have said, give me a son so I will be happy. Or she could have said, give me a son so my husband will be happy. Or she could have very well just said, give me a son. But no, she prayed specifically. She went beyond just that. She knew what she wanted, and she prayed specifically for it. But her prayers were not selfish. She prayed for a son, not just a son, but she prayed for a son who would grow up as a servant of God. I can tell you, as a bragging dad, I'm so thankful that my kids aren't here right now. And I mean here in this building. I'm thankful that they were up and they're setting up, getting ready for church in Lockhart. I'm thankful that they've taken on the ministries, and not only taken on because, you know, we tell them they need to help us serve. I'm thankful that they've truly taken on the ministry and served God to the fullest. There's nothing wrong. I know Pastor Will is one happy dad right now because there's somebody on the piano, probably his daughter, who's playing piano here. That's such a blessing. I don't care if they make $1 million. I want their lives to be surrounded by God, to serve God wholeheartedly, because God will provide for them. That He will provide the means, not what they do, but what He can do. Amen. One of the greatest gifts a mom can give her children is the prayers that God would transform them into something that they cannot be. And what I mean by that is something that God can do to reach other people. That He would place something in them that they would be a light in this dark world. Even in their school, even the little children that were here early, that they would be a light in this dark world. You see, there are scores of examples of godly women who prayed for their children, and God has kept them safe even in the midst of danger and brought those children to God, not only to God, but have brought them back to God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, 14, it says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You see, we're going to put this picture on up a minute. And this picture, once we get that up there, if you see this kid, let me just, if you can see that I'm not a short guy and he towers me. We used to share shoes in fourth grade. And I'm not joking. In fourth grade, DJ and I used to share shoes. Well, let me explain something to you. This is a kid that I used to coach in football, and I coach in basketball, and he graduated with my son. He went on to play college basketball, and I saw him a couple of months ago, and I've always wanted the kids to be a light in this dark world, to be an example. It wasn't about winning or losing. It was about being an example for these kids. Some have fallen off, some haven't, but when I saw DJ, it had been years, saw him in the activity center, he gives me this hug, Coach Mike. Now, mindful, that was fourth and fifth grade before he went to junior high. Still, Coach Mike. He began to tell me what God was doing in his life and how God had laid something on his heart to have this praise and worship night at his church, and that for me to help him pray that God would continue to bring those people in. And he invited me to this. You see, one thing you don't know about DJ is that his mother passed away. His mother passed away just a few years ago. He could have very well been anywhere else. He could have very well, statistics would say that because he doesn't have a mom, that he was going a different direction, but God had a different plan in DJ. Now, let me tell you about Miss Wanda. Miss Wanda was a praying woman. She was a praying woman. She would pray for me. And it was just amazing. Even on her deathbed, she would pray for me. And Miss Sanders would pray for me as well. She continued to pray for her kid. DJ didn't know that I wouldn't miss it for the world. So last Sunday, I got to go. And I sat on the front row seeing DJ, and tears began to well up in my eyes. Seeing him up there singing with the choir, seeing him up there playing the keys. Again, he could have been elsewhere. But I believe it was because of a praying mom that he didn't lose his way even though she wasn't here. God began to move in DJ. So amazing of what God was doing. So thankful for him. Did you know that God also heard the prayers of Hannah? And he did bless her with a son. And she named him Samuel. And what Samuel means is heard of God. That's what Samuel means. How amazing that she would name him that. And then she honored her, what she said she would do. That when he would get old enough, she would take him and he would be a servant of God. God got the glory. You see, in 1 Samuel 1, 26 and 28, through 28, I should say, she took him to the priest Eli. And here's how she responded. She said, "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I am the very woman who stood here several years ago and prayed to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he granted my request. Now I am giving him back to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And they worshiped the Lord there. You see, here is what's amazing about this passage. It wasn't Eli, the priest, that was worshiping God. It was Hannah and her son, Samuel, that was worshiping God. That may have only been 2 to 3 years old. How did he learn to worship God? Because he's seen his mom do it. He's seen his mom worship God. It was practiced before him. Children are like sponges. They soak up everything around them. One of the greatest moments you will ever have, is to see your children pray. But how are they going to learn it? We practice it in front of them. We practice praying in front of them. I love to see little kids when they fold their hands and they're going to pray for their food and their eyes are so tight. I'm like, man, you're going to get a headache. Your eyes are so... But they're praying. And I loved it when my little kids, when I say, "All right, kids, let's pray together." Even this week, I said, "All right, kids, now they're older. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray together." Did you know that it was through a little girl, my daughter, who brought our entire family to the Lord? And on the way to church, she grabs my hand. She invited me to church. She grabs my hand and says, "Dad, I've been praying for this." You can't imagine the emotion that was flowing, and I'm trying to hold it all together. I didn't teach her how to pray. She had a personal relationship with God. Now, we mirror that. We mirror that relationship with God. She worshiped God, and that's how Samuel learned how to worship God. If you want your kids to learn how to pray, include them in prayer. If you want your children to worship, worship with them, in front of them. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It does not matter. If there was time, I could tell you the situations that happened in my life. But there's not. But what I want to tell you is that I was on the phone with my mom and we were praying together. We were worshiping God together over the phone. She lives in Tennessee. That's God. She mirrored something, even if it was on the phone. Did you know something? Your kids will always be your kids. Just because they grow up and they have their own kids doesn't mean that you stop praying for them. Doesn't mean that you stop praying in front of them. Doesn't mean that you stop mirroring a relationship with God. You may not even have children now. Maybe one day you're going to. But why not start now? Well, Pastor Mike, I've really messed up in my life. Life has been so bad. Doesn't matter. God is right here. He's a forgiving God. You can start right now. As we pray, I want to tell you something in 1 Samuel, before we pray, I should say, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we just go one chapter down. Hannah had a prayer of praise. She said, "Then Hannah prayed, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me.' No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." There is no rock like our God. Those weren't just words that she said. That was a reflection of her heart. You see, Jesus tells us a story of two men that built their house, one on sand and one on the rock. When the storm came, the one that was built on sand didn't make it. But the one that had that firm foundation withstood the storm. And that's exactly what Hannah did. Hannah built her life on the rock. Not the Dwayne the Rock Johnson. I'm talking about the rock. The rock. The first rock. All right? But as we pray, I want you to just open up your heart. You say, "Well, can you trust God with your children?" Yes, if you can trust God with your life. Can you trust God that He will lead your children? Yes. If you trust that He can lead your life. Can you trust God that can you lead your children to worship God? Yes, you can. If you worship God. So as we pray, I want you to just open up your heart. I want you to be the prayer warrior in your family, whether you're husband or wife, it doesn't matter, or both. Show them what a godly marriage can be. Because I can tell you, if it wasn't for God, I firmly believe that my wife and I wouldn't be together. But I'm thankful for a praying mom. I'm thankful for a praying wife, that no matter what, she's going to continue to pray. And that's the example to us all. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the women that are in my life. I thank you for the men that are in my life, the prayer warriors, those that are praying for me that I don't even know is praying. Lord, help us to be the example to our families. Help us to be the godly examples to our families. Lord, we may have lost our way. We may have gone astray. But God, we know that you are the answer. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the families that bring their children to church, knowing that it is important to be here. But Sunday should be an overflow of what God is already doing in our lives, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray right now for each and every person that is here. Lord, no matter what they're facing, no matter what they're going through, God, we know that you, again, are the prayer-answering God, the problem solver and the way maker. God, we rest in you today. Lord, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know you, that doesn't have a personal relationship with you, God, I pray right now that their hearts would be surrendered, that they would ask for forgiveness in their heart, and it would be something that comes from their heart, not just a prayer that they pray, but something that comes from their heart. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for the prayer warriors, the heroes and sheroes of the faith. God, we love you today. We honor you, and we sincerely thank you for who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.